Today's daf is Erev and daf Pei Dalid. We left off on daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. We are four lines before the bottom of the page on Pei Gimel Amud Beis. There is only one topic in today's daf. You'll remember that we had a machlokas at the end of yesterday's daf in a case where two people have access to an area that not two people, two areas, the chatzer and the marpesas, the lower area and the upper area where people live, have access to some area that's in between, some shared area. So the question is, who is the one that has the rights to use it on Shabbos? If the Chatzar made their own Eruv, the people in Marpesas made their own Eruv, but they did not join in an Eruv together, so when you have certain elevations and places that are in between the two areas, who can use those places on Shabbos? So we said the basic rule is that if it's Lezet Hashmisho Benachas, Lezet Hashmisho Bekasha, one of them has an easier time using it and the other has a hard time using it. Lezet BePesach, for instance, one of them has access to it just through a regular doorway on ground level. And Lezet BeZrika, but the other one only has access to it by throwing something in an upward motion, or Beshilshul, by in a downward motion, by lowering something into it. So then certainly it belongs to the place that has the access BePesach, that has the direct doorway access into it. So the Gemara had a shaila though. What if it's lezeh b'shulshul lezeh b'zrika? If one chatzar can access the area by throwing upward and the other by throwing downward, so neither of them have a real tashmisha benachas. Neither of them have a real easy way of accessing. They both have access in a somewhat unusual way, in a somewhat challenging way. That was machlokas amorayim. Rav had said, we left off with Rav saying shnei and asurin, that neither the lower area nor the upper area can carry in the to that area that's in between, because it's considered to be a shared area, and since there's no eruv between the marpesas and the chatzer, so a shared area is usher for everybody. But Shmuel said nosnoso lezesha b'shilshul, that the chatzer that can lower things to the area can use it, since lowering is considered to be tashmisha benachas. It's considered to be an easier form of usage than throwing upward against gravity. So even though normally to be mishalshel, to lower something, is not as tashmisha benachas as a pesach, it's just having direct access, but it's still more tashmisha benachas than being zorek, than throwing upward, probably because when you're throwing upward, you're working against gravity. So the entire daf, today's entire daf, beginning to end, deals with trying to prove who's right in that machlokas. When you have lezeb b'shulshul, lezeb b'nachas, do we assume that they're equal and therefore it's usher for everybody like Rav, or do we assume that lezesh b'shulshul is considered to be more of a nachas than lezesh b'zrika, than the one that has the access only through zrika like Shmuel? There are going to be four rayas in today's daf, and that's the entire outline of the daf. Four rayas, two from Mishnayos to support Shmuel, and two from Brisos that support Rav, and each raya is ultimately going to be rejected. So we're going to come back to where we started at the end, where we're going to have nothing to prove one way or the other, but that's the structure of the daf. So let's begin daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. So raya number one, Tanan, says in the Mishnah. So again, two of the rayas are from Mishnayos. Both of the ones that are from Mishnayos are going to be a raya to Shmuel. So Tanan, Anshei Chatzer v'Anshei Marpesas Shachu v'lo Yirvu. Our Mishnah, you have people from Chatzer, people from Marpesas that forgot to make an Eruv together with each other. Kol shegavoa asar tfachum l'marpesas, pachus mikan l'chatzer. Any area that's raised 10 tfachim off the ground is the people from the Marpesas are allowed to use that area, not the people from the Chatzar. That's considered to be designated for the people from the Marpesas. Now, one thing to be clear about, whenever we say Bishilshul or Bizrika, we mean a 10 tefach differential, meaning it's not considered to be Tashmish or Bishilshul that your usage is by lowering something if you don't have to lower something more than 10 tefachim. If the area is, let's say, 5 tefachim beneath your feet, that's not called Bishilshul. If it's the same with Zrika, when we talk about Zrika, it means more than 10 tefachim above. So if the way to access it is by throwing it upward, but it's not 10 tefachim up, so then it's not called Zrika. So anyway, so if it's 10 tefachim high off the ground, the Mishnah had said, then it's considered to be to belong to the people of the Marpeset. Pachos mikan lechatzer. If it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, it belongs to the people of the chatzer. So kasal kadaitach, the assumption that we work with is my marpeses b'nei aliyah, is that when we say marpeses, we mean b'nei aliyah. We mean people that live in an upper story above the marpeses, above the common area between them. So the Mishnah says, in effect, that if people in an upper story and people in a chatzer didn't join in a single Erev, the people from the upper story can use an area that's 10 tefachim high, presumably, even though they're using that area by lowering items, by shilshul, by being mishalshel items down onto it, and the people in the bottom chatzer would only have access by throwing something up toward it. So apparently, even though the people in the lower level need to use zrika, the people in the upper level need to use shilshul, need to be mishalshel. So see, even though neither of them have real tashmish or benachas, nevertheless we say that this area belongs to the people in the upper chatzer, in the aliyah. We assume an aliyah has got to be more than 20 tefachim higher than the lower chatzer. So my karula marpeses to kasalki b'marpeses. Why do we call it a marpeses? We're really assuming that the people are living in a higher floor. They're living in an upper story, which is more than 20 tefachim higher than the lower story, where clearly it's way higher, because the only way they get down is by going through this marpeses. That's why we call it marpeses, but they don't actually live in the marpeses. So Alma said that if that understanding is correct, if that kasal kadaitich is correct, then this is a raya to Shmuel. Kol lezeh b'shulshul, ulezeh b'zrika, noso so lezeh sh'b'shulshul. Since the people in the aliyah only access this marpeses by lowering something, the people in the chatzer only access this marpeses by throwing something upward toward this marpeses, and yet we still see that this marpeset belongs to the bnei aliyah. So we see that lezeh sh'b'shulshul, lezeh b'zrika, the usage is granted to the people who use it b'shulshul, to the people of the bnei aliyah. That's the raya for Shmuel. So says Gemara, not a good raya. Kedam Rav Huna la'osin adarim b'marpeses. That the people in the upper chatzer, we're not talking about people who live in an aliyah. They live in the marpeses, so they don't have access bishul, so they have direct access. They're on the same level as the marpeses, just like Rav Huna says it in a different context. So hachanami la'osin adarim b'marpeses. So too, in our context, we'd say the same thing. So yihachi, if that's the case, Ema Seifa Pachos Mikan L'Chatzer. But wait a second, then why would the Seifa say, why would the Mishnah go on to say, that if the elevation was less than 10 Tefachim off the ground, it would belong to the Bnei HaChatzer? Why would it say that whatever this mound or whatever it is, this area was less than 10 Tefachim off the ground, it would belong to the people in the lower Chatzer and not to the Bnei Marpeset? Amai, L'Zeba Pesachu, L'Zeba Pesachu. Wouldn't that be, let's say it's 9 tefachim off the ground. So wouldn't that mean that it's within 10 tefachim for the people living in the lower chatzer, and it's also within 10 tefachim for the people living in the marpeset, for the people living in the slightly elevated area? So wouldn't that be a case where they both have equal access, and therefore it should be usher for everybody, since there's no joint Erev between the marpeses and the chatzer? They would both have equal access. So how can you say, if we're talking about a case where the people in the upper story aren't really in an upper story, they're living in the marpeset itself, they're living in a fairly low area, it's just a little bit higher than the chatzer, so then a case where the elevation that we're talking about, the makom that we're being done on, is less than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's within 10 tefachim for both areas. So how can we say that it belongs to the Bnei Chatzer? So says Gemara, you're right. My L'Chatzer, when we say that it belongs to the Chatzer, it means Af L'Chatzer. It means that typically during a weekday, the Chatzer would also have easy access to it, and therefore, with Shnei and Asurin, that would mean nobody's allowed to use it. So we say L'Chatzer, it doesn't mean that the people in the Chatzer actually get to use that area. No, nobody gets to use that area on Shabbos, because they both have equal easy access to the area. Hachi nami mistavra, and it's mistavra to assume that that's what that's the language we're using over here. Midiktani seifa, from the fact that the seifa says ba medvar mamurim b'smucha avu meflegas afilu gava yutfachim lechatzer. What does it say in the seifa? That that's only if this elevation is within, is near the marpeses. But if it's far away from the marpeses, more than four tfachim away from the marpeses, even if it's 10 tfachim high, then that area is going to belong to the chatzer. What? That area is going to belong to the chatzer? It's more than 10 tfachim off the ground for the b'nei chatzer. My lechatzer, ilem lechatzer v'shari, if lechatzer means that it's going to be mutter for the b'nei chatzer, amai, reshusa detravayuhu. Why would it be mutter for the chatzer? It's something that's equally difficult to access for the people in the lower chatzer and the people in the upper chatzer. So, elem my lechatzer, af lechatzer shnei masurin. So what do we mean, obviously, when we say lechatzer in the later part of the Mishnah? We must mean that even the b'nei chatzer are considered to have the same access as the b'nei marpeses have to it, meaning it's difficult for the b'nei marpeses because it's four tvachim away, and it's difficult for the b'nei chatzer because it's ten tvachim up, and therefore, since they have equal access, neither of them are allowed to use it on Shabbos because there's no eruv connecting the b'nei marpeses to the b'nei chatzer. So hachinam, so in the Reisha also, my lechatzer, af lechatzer shnei masurin. When we say lechatzer, that the area belongs to the chatzer, to the b'nei chatzer, it means that the area typically would belong even to the b'nei chatzer, and therefore on Shabbos, since it belongs both to the b'nei chatzer and to the b'nei aliyah, it would be usur for both of them to use. So again, the Gemara's first raya was from the assumption that the Mishnah was talking about people in the B'nai Marpeset not actually living in a Marpeset, but actually living in an Aliyah that's way, way higher. And the assumption was, therefore, that it's Lezeb Shilshul, Lezeb Bezrika, and yet we said it belongs to the B'nai Aliyah, Raya, that Shmuel was correct. And the Gemara said, no, we're not talking about people who live in an Aliyah. We're talking about, when we talk about B'nai Marpeset, we're talking about people who live in the Marpeset. So the 10 Tefachim mound is less than 10 Tefachim below where they live. So the upper story uses the area directly, just like, and the bottom story does not use the area directly, and that's why it belongs to the B'nai Aliyah. If both the upper story and the bottom story use the area directly, which would mean that it's less than the mound is less than 10 tefachim off the ground of the chatzer, so that way the upper story has less than 10 tefachim to go down, the bottom story is less than 10 tefachim to go up, then it would be lachatzer. What does it mean, lachatzer? It means for nobody. It means then it would be af lachatzer. Both of them technically have the right to use the area, which would mean nobody's allowed to use it on Shabbos, because an area that's equally accessible to both the b'nei chatzer and the B'nai Marpeset cannot be used by anybody on Shabbos. That was all Raya number one. Raya number two now, next Mishnah. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. A same Mishnah, really. It's our Mishnah. Chulias habor v'asela, shem gavon asara l'marpeses. Pachos mikan l'chatzer. If you have the area of piled up dirt around a bar and or a rock, That's 10 tefachim high, so then it belongs to the B'nai Marpeses. If it's less than 10 tefachim high, it belongs to the chatzer. So what's the raya? A pile of dirt around a pit, or a rock that's 10 tefachim high, that can be used by the people in the upper story, even though presumably they can only use it by lowering things down into it. And how do people use it from the lower story? By throwing something up toward it, meaning we're assuming that it's more than 10 tefachim away from both the upper chatzer and from the lower chatzer, from the marpeses and from the chatzer. So it's neither of them has tashmisha benachas. One of them is bezrika, one of them is b'shilshul. And you see that we assume shilshul is more of a benachas than zrika is, like Shmuel said. So that's why the b'nei aliyah are allowed to use it. So that's the raya. So Amar Rav Huna, so this is where Rav Huna originally said his statement that we quoted in the previous raya. Amar Rav Huna, la'osan hadarim bimar peses. We're not talking about where you have b'nei aliyah and b'nei chatzer, where you have people living way higher than the b'nei chatzer. You have b'nei marpeses and b'nei chatzer. Meaning, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the area is within 10 tfachim of the upper story. If it's within 10 tfachim of the upper story, for them it's tashmisha b'nei nachas. It's easy for them to use. It's within 10 tefachim of their ground, so they could use it directly. So says the Gemara, okay, tenach sela, that makes sense when you're talking about a rock. Why? Because a rock is a solid mass, so it's if it's 10 tefachim high off the ground of the lower chatzer, and within 10 tefachim of the marpesas, so I understand very well, it's tashmisho benachas for the upper chatzer, it's not tashmisho benachas for the, I keep saying upper chatzer, it's tashmisho benachas for the marpeset, it's not tashmisho benachas for the chatzer, so that makes a lot of sense. Bor ma'ik alameimer, but a bor by definition, what are we saying? What's within 10 tefachim of the ground of the marpeset? The dirt that's piled up around the bor, but a bor is a hole in the ground. So not only do you have dirt walls around it, you also have a hole in the ground that makes it go dip even below the ground of the chatzer. So if you're dealing with a bor, aren't we by definition going to have to say that the people in the marpeset use it not directly but only b'shilshul, because the inside of the bar is way more than 10 tefachim below the b'nei marpeset? It's way more than 10 tefachim below. So is it, how can you say that's called tashmisho benachas? That's called that they just have direct access to it? They have direct access to the top of the dirt that surrounds the bar, but certainly not to the inside of the bar. So Amar Rav Yitzchak b'Reish Rav Yehuda, hachu b'bar malei amayim askinan. We're dealing with a bar that's full. It's full of water, and therefore, since it's full all the way to the top, so there is no area that's deep down. The area that you're going to use is by dipping a bucket down to the very top of the water. So the very top of the water is where the very top of the dirt walls around the bar are. So frankly, Gemara, what do you mean? V'chasra. But it's full of water now, but over the course of time, it's going to keep on being emptied out. People will constantly take water out of it. And therefore, isn't that considered that you're only being mishtamish with this bar b'shilshul by lowering things down into it? So says Gemara, no, kivin d'chi mal yasharia, ki chasrana misharia, that since when it's full, it's okay, so when it's empty, it's also okay. So adraba, kivin d'chi chasrana asira, ki mal yanami asira. So, well, why would you say it that way? Maybe you say the other way, that since the water is constantly being taken out, and when it's empty, it's clearly going to be usher, because then the tashmish for the b'nei marpesa is clearly going to be b'shilshul, so even when it's actually full of water, we should also say that it's considered to be tashmisho b'shilshul and should be usher. So Ella Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, you're right, let's not assume it's full of water. Let's assume hacha b'bar meleya peros haskinan. The bar is full of peros, and therefore it's never going to be chaser. Those peros are there to stay. So frekli gemara v'chasri, why would those peros be there to stay? When you fill something with peros, isn't the assumption that the peros are also going to be removed ultimately from the bar? Says gemara, yeah, ultimately, but betivla, we're dealing with peros of tevel, and therefore they may ultimately be removed from the bar, but certainly not on Shabbos, because tevel is muktzah on Shabbos. So for the course of this Shabbos, where you have this bar full of tevel produce that no trumas and maasos have been taken from it, so they're all muktzah, it's going, the surface of the bar is now changed. The surface of the bar is not the bottom of the bar, it's the top surface of the fruit that is now filling the bar. That's considered the surface of the bar. And the raya that that's the case is because it lists the bar together with the sela. So sela is a solid mass, where you use the upper surface of the sela. And we can assume the bar is the same thing, where there's some sort of solid mass inside of it, where the usage is of the upper surface of the bar, and you can rest the... What are we talking about? What would the B'nai Marpesa want to use the bar for? It's full of peros. So they can't pull peros out of it, because the peros are all muksa. It would mean they want to rest something on it. They want to put something down on the top surface of the bar. So they could rest something up on those peros. So that's what it means. So volumen the missing bar, volumen the missing sela. Why does the Mishnah have to give two examples? Meaning if they're really the same thing. We're just talking about a protrusion that is a mound that is in a chatzer that's 10 tefachim high off the ground of the chatzer. What difference does it make if that mound is rock or if that mound is a bar that's full of muktzah produce, which makes it all unmovable? Why would you have to give me both examples? So tzricha, diashmin sela, deleka lemig ligzar. Aval bar ligzar zimnin demalia perus musukanin. No, by if it only would have told me about a sela, I would have said, yeah, a sela is considered something that the b'nei marpesas have easy access to because it's a solid mass. Nothing's ever going to change about it. But a bar that's full of tevel produce, I might think we should make a gezera that sometimes it's going to be full of non-tevel produce, and you're still going to think you're allowed to use the upper surface. So maybe we should make it usher to use the upper surface, because non-tevel produce you would not be allowed to. So tzricha, that's why he needs to tell me both cases, both the case of the bar and the case of the sella. It does not, what the Gemara does not explain is why it would have to tell me the, once it tells me the case of the bar, why it would then have to tell me the case of the sella. I'm not sure what the answer is, but it does not seem to really give a clear explanation of that. A couple of minor points over here. We discussed that if the bar was full of mayim, if it was full of water, so we say hachasra. The water is ultimately going to be taken and going to be chaser, meaning the water level is going to dip down. And since the water level could ultimately dip down, we don't view it as if it's full when it's full of mayim. So the Meiri discusses, what if there's a natural spring where, as you take water, it refills itself. It's not just done that it's full of water, and as you take water, it's going to actually be lowering itself down. So the Miri quotes from Ktsas Chachmei Ador, that if the Mei HaBe'er is Novim, it's a natural spring of water, and it's within and the top surface of that water is within 10 Tfachim of the Marpeses, then even Rav is Moda, that it's Mutter for the Bnei HaMarpeses to draw water from the Be'er. So why didn't the Gemara just say we're talking about Mayim Hanovim instead of saying we're talking about where it's full of peros that happen to be Tevel? Isn't it a better case to say that we're talking about a bar that's full of Mayim Hanovim? So it could be that the reason for that is that Chazal use the term bar sometimes, and sometimes use the term be'er. What's the difference between a bar and a be'er? So typically we assume that a bar is megashamim, is just full, it fills with rainwater, but it's stagnant. A be'er is how we would describe something that's Mayim Chaim. The Mishnah used the term bar, did not use the term be'er. So it's more likely that we want to make the Ukimta that it's full of, that it's a bar, it's just a hole in the ground, there's no live body of water there, because that fits better with the term bar. If it really meant that there was Mayim Hanovim, we would have used the term Be'er. But anyways, the Meiri quotes these Ktsas Chachmei Ador that say that if there were Mayim Hanovim, where it would always be refilling itself, then it would be Mutter, according to everybody. However, the Meiri says, no, it would be Usser even if it's Mayim Hanovim. Why? Because even a Be'er that has a Mayim Hanovea, that has this constant live spring of water, can sometimes, the water level can sometimes go down. If you take a lot of water out at a time, it will take a little while to replenish itself. So you don't want to have to always cheshbin, did it replenish itself, did it not replenish itself, how much did we take out of it? As a lo plug, lo nasata tverech l'shiurin, says the Meiri, doesn't make a difference whether it's mayim hanovim or not mayim hanovim. Now, we said that it's, we couldn't say that it's mayim, instead we said that it's full of tevel produce. So that goes ashri paskins, if there is a charetz bein shtei chatzeros, let's say you have a ditch in the ground between two chatzeros. Remember we said that if the ditch is more than 4 tefachim wide and more than 10 tefachim deep, that separates the chatzeros. That's like having a mechitza between the shnei chatzeros. So he said, what if it's full of peros? What if you fill the ditch with peros? So what would that do? So the Hagos Hashri says, ma'arvim yachad. Now the two chatzeros can join in the same eruv, because we assume that the peros are put there la'otzar, they're put there for long-term storage, and you don't intend to remove them on Shabbos, even though they're not tevel. They're mukta anyway, because you don't have them in mind. You put them away for long-term storage. So apparently, and the Rama paskins this way. The Rama and Or Chaim Sim Shinayin Beis paskins like this. Hagolos Hashri, that even peros that aren't tevel, if you put them in the charetz, you put them in that ditch. So we assume that they're there for the rest of Shabbos and they're not going to be moved. And therefore, it's as if the whole charetz is filled in. So frek the Magen Avram on the spot. Sivkat and Chavches and Sim Shinayin Beis. Why does our Gemara then have to say that we're talking about peros of tevel, even if you fill the bar with peros musukanim. It's mistama, it's miyuchad la'otsar, and if it's miyuchad la'otsar, so anyway, it's considered to be filled in. So okay, so that's the kasha Magen Avraham asks on this Rama. One area of halacha, the halachic discussion that comes out of our Gemara that you probably would not have guessed would emerge from our Gemara. There's a significant discussion in Rishonim and Achronim about touching mukta. We know that there's nisra of hishtamshus b'mukta. You're not allowed to be not hishtamshus. Nisra of mita, of tiltul mukta, of moving mukta. Are you allowed to touch something that's mukta? You walk by the car and you want to just touch the car. Put your hand on a car. Is that a violation of anything? So let's think about what happened in our Gemara. We have these peros that are filling up the bar. The peros are mukta, and we say that the hishtamshus of the B'nai Marpeses is what? That they have easy hishtamshus with the top surface of the peros. Well, what's their hishtamshus going to be? Is that they're going to rest something on those peros. Why are they allowed to rest something on those peros? Those peros are mukta. So says the Trumas Hadeshen, you see that if you have something, the Trumas Hadeshen discusses a case where you have bags with money in it, where if you're allowed to put something on those bags or in the same area as those bags, and he says there's no isser, and the raya is from our sugya, there's no isser of touching something that's mukta. And he quotes from other gedolim that said similarly. And the Trumas Hadeshen says, but here's his problem. There is a Yerushalmi in Maseches Beitza. The Yerushalmi says that if Beitza is nol de b'Shabbos, so the halacha is, that's mukta. If it's something that's just nol out in the world on Shabbos, and a chicken lays an egg on Shabbos, so that egg is mukta. So the Yerushalmi says, if Beitza is nol de b'Shabbos, even though it's mukta, you're allowed to take a kli and cover the egg, so that you won't come to touch it, it won't roll away, it will be protected. You can take a kli, cover over the egg. Says the Yerushalmi, ubel that, as long as you make sure the kli doesn't touch the egg. So why? Why can't the kli touch the egg? There's no isser of touching mukta, says the Trumas Hadeshen. So that Yerushalmi seems to pose a problem. So says the Trumas Hadeshen, and don't tell me that in the case of the Yerushalmi, it's an egg, and if you touch it, if you have an egg, even if you just touch it slightly, it's going to move. So that's always going to be tiltul mukta. It's not just going to be touching. It's going to be moving the egg by definition, because it's dochak to assume that that's the fear, that if you touch it, it's always going to move. Why is it so dochak? It makes a lot of sense. But he says it's dochak. So the Trumas Hadeshen says the way to be metaritz at Yerushalmi is that the hanachas kli on the egg is litzorech the beitza. That whenever you touch mukta, litzorech the mukta, that's going to be a problem. But if you're touching the mukta, not litzorech the mukta, then it's going to be mutter. So now all of a sudden, it's not so clear that you're always allowed to just touch muksa as long as you don't move it. You're only allowed to touch muksa when you're not doing it. Litzorech the muksa. So how do we paskin? In Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Simen Shin Ches, if Membei, Shulchan Aruch says, something that's muksa, mutter ligabo. You're allowed to touch it even as long as you don't move it in any way. And the Shulchan Aruch over there paskins that it's mutter to take a kli, put it over muksa, ublevad shalo yigabo. But as long as you don't touch it. What? So why do you have to be careful not to touch it? So Magen Avraham says that even though it's mutter to touch mukta, that's only when it's not litzorech hamukta. But when it's litzorech hamukta, you're not allowed to touch the mukta, exactly like the Trumas Hadeshen. However, the gra on the spot in the Shulchan Aruch is cholik on the Trumas Hadeshen. He paskins like the Magen Mishnah says. The Magen Mishnah says that you're allowed to touch mukta even litzorech hamukta. What about the Yerushalmi? He says, well, the Trumas Hadeshen's first answer for the Yerushalmi that he didn't like, that he thought was dochak, is correct. The only reason it was usher by the egg was because you're going to move the egg. When you touch the egg, by definition, you're going to be moving it. The only time you're not allowed to touch mukta is when touching mukta, by definition, is going to be moving the mukta. So that's the machlokas between the gra and the Magen Avraham. Do we assume, straight like Trumas Hadeshen, that you're not allowed to touch muksa when it's litzorech the muksa, or are you even allowed to touch muksa when it's litzorech the muksa, as long as it's not going to be moving the muksa in any way? So in the back of the Masivta Gemara, in the Pnine Halacha, he quotes from the Divrei Yoel on Bereishis, page Kuf Dalid, where he suggests that this was Chava's Svara when she told Adam that when she told the Nachash umipri ha'etz asher betoch hagan. That we cannot let it eat from this tree, nor are we allowed to touch this tree pentamusin, lest we die. Now, why couldn't she wear? Who told her she's not allowed to touch the tree? No one said you're not allowed to touch the tree. Not only that, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chavtes says that kala. We learn from that kala mosif gareya, that Adam told you're not allowed to eat from the tree. That was the command of God. By her adding and trying to make being baltosif and trying to say, oh, we're also not allowed to touch the tree, that's what caused her downfall. Because then the Nachash shoved her into the tree, she touched it, he said, you see, nothing happened. So that's what caused her downfall by being mosif. So says the Divrei Yoel, says the Satmar Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, that when she was mosif on that sivoy, this is probably based on the concept, he says, of Kiyam Avram Avinu Kala Tarukula Vafilu Erev Tavshilin, that Avram Avinu had an intuitive sense of Kala Tarukula. So presumably, if Avram Avinu had an intuitive sense of Kala Tarukula, including Dinim Drabanan, Afilu Erev Tavshilin, it's interesting that, by the way, that we choose Erevin as the example of something that's an obscure Din Drabanan. I was talking to Rav Shefter about trying to write a summary of Maseches Erevin, like a half-hour shiur, to just summarize all the major klalim of Maseches Erevin. So I was talking to him in the car on the way back, and I was telling him that, you know, it's so interesting that it's the only Maseches in Shas that's purely Din Drabanan. There's no Din D'oraisa. The whole Maseches is purely based on Dinim D'Rabbanan. Brachos is Kriya Shema and Birchas Hamazon. Shabbos is Shabbos. So, I mean, and as we go through Pesachim, everything is Dinim D'oraisa. Purely Dinim D'Rabbanan, the entire Masechta. He said, not only that, it's Dinim D'Rabbanan. Whenever you have Dinim D'Rabbanan, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ken D'Oraisa Tikkunim. The Rabbanan always Masake and Dinim D'Rabbanan, they pattern it after Dinim D'Oraisa. We don't even know what Dinim D'Oraisa and Erevin are patterned after. Where does Erev Tchumen come from? What Din D'Oraisa is Erev Tchumen based on? What Din D'Oraisa is much of Hilchos Erevin based on? So anyway, so that's perhaps why they give that example. The Chazal Dafka use that example. That Avraham Avinu observed Kala Tarukula. Not only Dinim D'Rabbanan that have a clear connection to Dinim D'Oraisa, even Eruv Tchumen, even the things that have no, but that intuitive sense. So says the Satmar Rebbe that if Avraham Avinu had that intuitive sense, Adam and Chava Kod Machet certainly had that intuitive sense of Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu Stakel Baraisa Bar Alma. So Torah permeated all of the Bria, and they certainly had that intuitive sense. And that's where Chava's idea of I can't touch the fruit came from, because loose hanging fruit on a tree that's still attached to the tree is muksa. It's touching it. So you're allowed to touch muksa. Yeah, you're allowed to touch muksa when it's not litzorech muksa, when there's no chashash that you're going to move it. But over here, every time you touch it, it's gonna move a little bit. So that's why she said that you're not allowed to touch it. Her mistake was that she said that was the Din D'Oraisa. That was not the command of Hashem. That's only Din D'Rabbanan. That was not part of the Tzivoy Hashem. That's why it's called a Mosif Goreya. So anyway, that's the discussion of touching Muksa with the interesting addition of the Satmar Rebbe. Okay, third Raya now. Says the Gemara, Toshema. Now we bring a Raya from a Braisa. Anshei chatzer v'anshei aliyah sheshachu v'lo irvu. You have people in a chatzer, people in aliyah that forgot to join in an eruv with each other. Again, they each have their own separate eruv, but they forgot to join in an eruv with each other. Anshei chatzer mishtamshin ba'asara tachtonim v'anshei aliyah mishtamshin ba'asara ha'elyonim. If there's a ledge protruding from the wall between them, so the people of the chatzer can use any ledge that protrudes within the lower 10 tfachim, and the people from the aliyah can use any ledge that protrudes within the upper 10 tfachim. Ketzad, ziz yotze min hakosel lemata me'asara lechatzer, lemala me'asara le'aliyah, exactly like we just said. So says Gemara, hadabeni beni, usher makes it sound like that. Let's say the wall is 25 tefachim high and the ledge is 12 tefachim off the ground. So it's 12 tefachim from the lower chatzer, 13 tefachim from the higher chatzer, more than 10 tefachim from both. It's lezeb shilshul lezeb bezrika, and that's going to be usher. Then neither of them are allowed to use it because they're both considered to have direct access. They're both considered to have indirect access to it. So neither of them are allowed to use it. That is the shita of Rav. Shmuel would say that you should let the people in the aliyah have it because shilshul is an easier use. Usage than Zrika. So this is a riot to Rav. No, there is no Beni Beni. There is no space in between the upper chatzer. We're talking about where it's the whole wall is only 19 tefachim high. So therefore, when the ledge protrudes within 10 tefachim of the ground, so then the lower chatzer has direct access and the aliyah has indirect access because it's more than 10 tefachim away from them. If the ledge is more than 10 tefachim off the the ground. So then, lezeb pesach, lezeb zrika. Then certainly the upper chatzer has direct access, and the lower chatzer doesn't have direct access because it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground from the lower chatzer. So that raya is not a good raya either. It doesn't prove Rav to be correct. Now the fourth and final raya. Tashma, shtegzusraos zulamalamisu. Let's say you have two ledges, two porches, one above the other. Not directly above the other. They're scattered a little bit, but one of them is higher up than the other one is. Asulel yonavlo asul, and they both protrude out over a body of water. Now, typically speaking, the water is considered a karmelis. Your porch is a rishos hayachid. So to take water from a karmelis into your porch is asur. You're not allowed to take from a karmelis into rishos hayachid, obviously. However, if you have a mechitza of 10 tefachim that protrudes either up over, let's say you have a hole in the ground in your porch, a hole that's 4 by 4 tefachim, and you have a mechitza of 10 tefachim either sticking above that hole or dipping below that hole, we view that mechitza as if it continues straight down into the water, and therefore it makes the water that's directly underneath that hole to be considered to be in a reshus hayachid. Then you're allowed to draw water from the area beneath. So that's what we're assuming is happening over here. You have these two porches, and the upper porch has a hole in the ground that's 4x4 tefachim, with a mechitza that's 10x10 tefachim hanging down from beneath that hole. So you're allowed to draw water directly. So shtegzustra zulam alamizu. You have that hole in the ground for the upper porch, but not for the lower porch. They're both not allowed to draw water. Why? Why are they both not allowed to draw water? Presumably, the upper porch, how do they draw water? By lowering something. You got to lower something more than 10 tefachim. Lower the bucket into the water more than 10 tefachim. How does the lower porch draw the water? Well, they don't have a hole in their ground. They have to throw their bucket up to the upper porch and then have it be lowered down from there. So for them it's bizrika. For their usage it's bizrika. They have to throw it up to the upper porch. So you see that they're both aser, even though it's lezeb bizrika, lezeb b'shilshul. Shmuel wouldn't say that. Shmuel would say that the upper porch is the one that has the right to use it, because for the shilshul is more direct usage than zrika. So Shmuel would have said it's okay. So this is a raya to Rav that shtei in asuras. So says Gemara, not a raya. Amar Rav Ad Barava b'boin b'nei tachtona derech aliona lemalos. That the case is that the people on the bottom, they don't throw the bucket up to the upper porch and have it be lowered from there. They walk up to the upper porch. They have a ladder that goes from their lower porch, from their lower balcony, to walk up to the upper balcony to fill their water. Which means, how do people from the lower porch fill their water? B'shilshul, the same way the people from the upper porch fill their water. So since both of them have the same exact usage, so even Shmuel is going to say that it's also in that case. They have a shared usage, and there's no Erev between them, so that's going to be problematic. That's why it's also for both of them. That is Rav Adbarava's answer. Abaye gives a different answer. Abaye Yomar, kigon dekayamin b'toch asar da'adadi. It's not that the people from the lower porch walk up to the upper porch. They don't. The balconies are simply less than 10 tefachim apart from each other. So both balconies have normal access to the hole. And that's why they're both aser. Meaning, the lower porch does not use zrika, because it's less than 10 tefachim higher. So even though they are throwing it, but they're throwing it less than 10 tefachim, that doesn't count as zrika. So they both are using shilshul, because once they do throw it, it then has to go down through that hole. V'lomi bayi ka'amar. And what it's really saying is a style of lomi bayi. It's saying, lomi bayi asul tachton v'losul Yona. We don't even need to say that if the hole in the ground through which they filled the water was in the lower porch and not in the upper porch, da asiri, that would certainly be aser, because tikivan debego yuda adadi kayamin asrna adadi, since these two porches are within 10 tefachim of each other, they clearly aser on each other. No, not only that, ala afilu asula elyona velo asula tachtona, even if they made the hole in the ground for the elyona, for the upper porch, and they did not make it for the tachtona, for the bottom porch, sal kadai techamina, I might have thought, one might have had a havamina, that kibun de lezeh benachas, u lezeh bekasha, leis fe lezeh shetashmisho benachas. I would have thought that since it's benachas for the upper porch and bekasha for the lower porch, we should give it to the one that is relatively more usage benachas. Chamash Mulan, Kivin the Bega Asara Kayamin Asrana Dadis. That's what it tells me, that no, it's not called Tashmisho Bekasha when you have to be Zorek less than 10 Tfachim up. So since they're within 10 Tfachim of each other, you're not being Zorek more than 10 Tfachim up, they're still going to Asra on each other because it's considered that they both have equal usage. Where do we find such an idea? Ki hada amar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel. This is very similar to what Rav Nachman amar Shmuel said. Actually, before we read, just again, what did Abaye say? That the balconies are less than 10 tefachim apart from each other, so both balconies are considered to have normal access to the hole. That's why they're both usher, because they both use the hole, but shilshul, the access to the hole is exactly the same. You might have thought that since it's slightly more difficult, relative to the way the upper balcony uses it, it's slightly more difficult for the people in the lower balcony because they have to throw something upward, but since they don't throw something upward 10 tefachim, it's throwing something upward less than 10 tefachim, that's not called more difficult. That's perfectly the same as the people in the upper balcony. So where do we find this similar idea that when things are less than 10 tefachim apart from each other, it's usher for both areas to use it, even though relative to each other one of them has a little more of a tashmisho benachas? Ki hadam Rav Nachman amar Shmuel gag hasamach l'rishus harabim tzarich sulam kavua la'atiro. If you have a roof that's near a rishus harabim and a temporary ladder, if you need a sulam kavua to be matir, sulam kavua in sulam arai lo, but a temporary ladder between the second story and the roof won't make the roof mutter. My taima lav mishum dekivin de betoch hasar da'adadi kaimi asra da'adi. Presumably, it's because the area beneath the roof and the Rishus HaRabim are within 10 tefachim of each other. So since they're within 10 tefachim of each other, they asar on each other. So you see, any gap of less than 10 tefachim in height is always going to be considered as if it's not there, as if that's a nothing, as if that's direct access. So says Gemara, is that really a raya? Maskev Rav Papa v'dilma k'sharabim mekasvin alav b'kumsa v'sudra. Rav Papa says, no, maybe the roof can be used directly by people in the Rishus HaRabim who try to put their hats and their scarves on it, which would mean that the Rishus HaRabim and the upper story both use the roof with equal ease, which makes it completely different from Abaye's case, where one area uses the questionable space with slightly more ease than the other area, meaning the lower area doesn't have as easy a time using the hole in the porch and filling the water as the upper area does. So that's not necessarily a great raya. What do we see from this Gemara? That sometimes people will be walking in Rishus HaRabim and they will want to rest their packages on an elevated area, on a thing that's 10 tefachim high. And what kind of packages will they want to rest? Kumsa v'sudra. What is sudra? Says Rashi that they would put these hats on. They would wear hats all the time. And when it was something very light, they could take it off and put it on this high area, something light like a hat. When people are very tired in the summertime, they would take their hats and their scarves off their heads, and they would put them down to sort of re-energize themselves, to get a little cool air, to get a cool breeze. So what are they doing? They're taking off their yarmulkes, no? Sounds like they're taking off their hats. So the poskim discuss this. What's the geder of the chiv of kisvei arosh, of covering one's head? The sheet of the kolbo, the name of Maram, is that there's no issur to go begilei arosh. It's purely a midas chasidus. However, the Zohar clearly says that if there's an issur to go begilei arosh, it's mikra din, and that's the sheet of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef paskins that it's in the Maritat, that it's asur mikra din to go begilei arosh. So the Marshal was Marshal in the Tshuva in Simanayin Beis discusses what if someone is rosho kaviv v'koiv, he has a headache, and the a lot of times women will say that the sheitel gives them a headache or whatever, that they're very hot, and so someone is wearing a turban. They didn't have a little yarmulkes, you don't even feel. So someone's wearing a turban and he's got a headache and he's hot and he wants to remove the turban. So does he have a heter to sit down and eat begilei arosh? That's what the Marshal was asked. So he says he doesn't know what the issur is to make a bracha begilei arosh without a covering on your head. He says had it not been for the fact that he tries not to be cholik on the kadmonim when he doesn't have significant backing from other gedolim, he would have thought that it's mutter. And his raya is from a medrash. The medrash says in Vayikra Rabba, Amar Rabbi Brechia, Melech Basar V'dam Mishager Prut tagma shalol medina. Mahim osim kol bnei medina omdim al ragleim uporimus rasheim ukormos abeim biyar beretzas ubezeya. Aval kodesh baruch hu yisparach omer li yisrael kiru kriya shema shehi pragmatia shali harei lo hitrachti aleichem likros lo omdim lo peru rosh. Normally when you come to greet a king, everyone takes their hat off in respect and everyone stands up. Hakodesh baruch hu says, you read kriya shema, do whatever you want, hat off, hat on, I don't care, it's fine, I'm not going to make life so difficult for you that you have to remove your hat. So says Marshall, you don't have to remove your hat, but the implication is that one is permitted to remove the hat. So his whole assumption is that removing the hat means that you can be Begili Arosh. That's a questionable assumption. I mean, it could be that there's a separate atifa on top of the regular Kisei Arosh that we're talking about, that you remove the hat. Rav Soloveitchik used to say the Birch's Kriyashma without his talis over his head. And he said that was the minhag of his grandfather. He never asked his grandfather why, but that was Reb Chaim's minhag, that he wouldn't wear his talis over his head during the Birch's Kriyashma and Kriyashma. So Rav Shachter has the same minhag, that he doesn't wear a talis over the head. So I remember if Rashatta suggested this himself, or he said B'Shem Rav Soloveitchik, that he thought maybe it's based on this medrash, that Chodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm not matriach you to put dafka on your head, off your head, so to dafka leave the talus over the head during Birkas Kriyashma. The medrash says, no, you don't have to dafka do, even though normally for Dover Sheb Kedusha, you always need an Atifa Sarosh for Dover Sheb Kedusha, for Kaddish, for Kedusha, for everything else, you'd always wear the talus over the head, but dafka for Kriyashma, even though there's a Kedusha in the Birkas Kriyashma, but dafka for Birkas Kriyashma and Kriyashma, Chodesh Baruch Hu says he's not matriach. Bottom line is, we're not allowed to go begilei arosh. The Taz says that even if you could say mikra din it's mutter, nowadays it's chuk asakum. So it's usher anyway, midin chuk asakum. Okay, we'll stop there.